Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
And let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Let us bow our heads. Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you bestow on us. Thank you for your Son. With him, we have a gateway to you, Lord. And he gives us the love and the light we need to spread to the Lord, to spread to the world, Lord. We bless it. Hope, pray to you that you open our hearts and fill us and heal us with your love. We pray that you open our eyes and give us the strength to take your word and the light of your Son and spread it through this world. But without your blessings and your strength, Lord, we are nothing. We are so much in need of you and your Son. Thank you so much for your blood that Jesus spread on the cross for us and given us the path to serve you. And we look forward to the day, Lord, that we worship you constantly in that holy place, and that through his blood we've been made worthy, that we can bow before you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning, and we're beginning a new sermon series after about, I don't know how many messages we've been talking about getting free. The first four were on getting free from sin, and I think the last 15 have been getting free from bondage. And this morning, we're going to talk about another kind of freedom, the freedom of grace giving. And there's going to be a three-week sermon series on giving, stewardship, that kind of thing. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
I know how happy y'all are about that. But there is great freedom in giving, specifically grace giving. And we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's read just the first, I guess the first three verses. And if you could honor God's word by standing. All right. This is the word of the Lord for the Lord's people. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth now. That Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Father, would you add your blessing to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Please be seated. There was one of these circus strongmen who was doing some unbelievable feats of strength to his audience. And one of the things that he did was he grabbed an orange in one hand and he squeezed every drop of juice out of that orange. Every drop with one hand. And the crowd oohed and aahed, you know. And then he challenged anybody in the audience to come forward to see. He said, if you think you can get more juice out of this orange, just come on. Well, this little small, wiry, weak-looking fella said, I'll take that challenge on. And he said, okay, come on. And then this little wiry, and when he was coming up to the platform, the audience was kind of snickering, you know, under their breath, because this cat, he looked like he was weak, small and thin and wiry, that kind of thing. But he took that crumpled up orange from that circus strong man with his right hand, and he squeezed 3 more ounces of juice out of that orange. And everybody's going, wow. And the strong man said, my goodness, who are you? Where did you come from? How did you do that? And the guy said, oh, it's nothing to it. I'm a pastor of a local Baptist church. Some of y'all will get that a little bit later. We're not going to use any hard sell tactics this morning. We're not going to do any arm twisting. We're not going to do any brow beating. We're just simply going to present to you the excitement and the fulfillment and the wonderful blessing and the freedom that comes through grace giving. Okay? Now, Jesus is the one who said it's more blessed to give than receive. I said Jesus is the one who said it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, let me just, I've run across a ton of statistics this week, and here's one. Did you know that the average church member spends more on dog food than they do in giving to the local church? Now, don't go home and say, Brother Cal said that we're not supposed to feed the dog. It's not the point of that, okay? But the average church member spends more on dog food than giving to the local church. What's up with that? You know, and I know y'all didn't come this morning to hear a sermon on giving. But did you know out of the 38 parables that Jesus taught, 16 of them dealt with money, wealth, and possessions. One out of 10 verses in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, deal with money. 2,000 verses deal with money, wealth, and possessions. As a matter of fact, Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven and hell combined. Did y'all hear that? He spoke more about money and possessions and wealth than he did eight times more than he did about salvation. Four times more than he did about faith and prayer. Two pretty important subjects. And Jesus spoke more about money than he did about love. Why did he talk incessantly and so much about money and wealth and possessions? Do you know why? Because he knew we'd have trouble with it.
That's right.
He knew we'd have trouble with it. And yet he said it's more blessed to give than receive. And here's what I believe, y'all. Maybe, possibly, the number one spiritual indicator of where you are in your walk with God comes through taking a look at your online banking statement and all those transactions. Taking a look at where the money is going. And those of you that are really old school can take a look at your checkbook. And that'll tell you where your heart is. Y'all with me so far? And so clearly, we need to get a word from the Lord this morning about what Jesus says we're supposed to do with money and our possessions, our wealth. And so I want all of us, as Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he was excited about the Corinthian church getting in on grace giving. And I'm excited about it today. And I want to tell you, if you'll sell out to what we're talking about today, you will enjoy the freedom that's available in giving. All right? Everybody with me? I know y'all are sitting out just on the edge of your seat. You can't wait to hear all this today. Well, let's take a look at the Word of God. First of all, there is a Paul gives a gentle reminder to the church about giving. Okay? And that's all I'm looking to do this morning. Not going to be a bunch of browbeating and screaming and hollering and fussing and arm twisting and hard sell tactics. It's got to be your decision anyway, amen?
Amen?
All right, a gentle reminder. That's what he's saying there in verses 1 through 3 in chapter 9. Now, Paul, he loved the church in Corinth, but there was a problem with one of the other churches. And the church, most of the churches now were Gentile churches. You had churches up in Macedonia, Asia Minor, church in Greece here, church in Corinth. I mean, just a lot of Gentile churches. But the church in Jerusalem, where their Jewish brothers and sisters were, they were hurting. They were not doing well financially. Corinth was a city that was flourishing in wealth. And the church in Corinth, they were doing well financially. And so what Paul had done a year previously, God laid it on his heart for the Gentile churches to take up a love offering and send it to their brothers and sisters at the church in Jerusalem. Are you with me? Y'all know what a love offering is, right? And so Corinth wanted to be a part of that. And they had made a pledge to give to this love offering to their suffering brothers and sisters at the church in Jerusalem. And Paul had began this, you know, this huge love offering push about a year previously. And guess what? The church in Corinth hadn't yet followed through with their pledge. And so Paul doesn't scream and holler and he doesn't throw a fit. He just gives them a gentle reminder about our giving. That's what I want to do this morning. Just a gentle reminder that the Holy Spirit might speak to your hearts today about grace giving. And then secondly, the church in Corinth, they had a generous reputation of giving. Isn't it wonderful to be known as a giving person? Mm-hmm. Look at verse 4. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, he's talking about coming to Corinth to take up this love offering, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised. He'd just given them a gentle reminder about their, and they had a generous reputation for giving, the church in Corinth. He said that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Paul had even used the generous reputation of Corinth in their giving as an example to the other Gentile churches in Asia Minor and Macedonia. And it had stirred all the other churches to give. The church in Corinth was known for their giving. And it spurred others to give. And yet they still hadn't followed through with their pledge from the previous year. And so, by the way, isn't it a wonderful thing to be known, to have a generous reputation for giving? And by the way, can I say this, Second Mile Church? Y'all are a giving church. You are. For no more folks than we've got, this is a giving church. And I'm thankful for that. And by the way, we don't need to be known for our buildings. We don't need to be known for our budgets. We don't need to be known for all the stuff we've got. We ought to be known for our giving to the Lord. A generous reputation. Not much more could be said about a church other than, boy, that's a praying church. And bless God, we're going to get there. All right? Y'all are a giving church. Thank God. You're known for your generosity. And we need to keep moving in that direction. We need everybody involved. You know why? Because people need the Lord. So here's the third thing that Paul mentions to them. There's a great reason for our giving. Man, watch this. Look at verse 6. You've probably heard this before. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Say amen, tightwad. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There's a great reason for our giving. Now, Paul wasn't concerned about the money that Corinth had, that the Corinthians had. What he was more concerned about was their character and their reputation. Okay? And what you need to understand is that God operates on grace. You're saved by grace. You're supplied by His grace. You're sustained by His grace. You're satisfied with His grace. And one day, guess what? You're even going to say, goodbye, everybody, by grace. And you're headed out of here, right? And so, did you know that y'all got a grace account? You've got a grace account. Some of y'all are looking at me like, the calves look at the moon. Let me put it like this. When I go to the bank and cash a $100 check, you know what that sweet teller does?
She gives me a $100 bill. But then, Ronnie, you know what she does? She debits my account for $100. Can you believe that? Well, I want to tell you what, God doesn't operate that way. He gives us a grace account, and every time I put $100 in my grace account, in other words, every time I give $100 to the Lord, instead of debiting my account, He credits my account. All right. Now, watch this, watch this. The great reason for giving is that the more I give, the more He blesses. If you give how? Sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you give bountifully, you're going to what? Yeah, this is the old reaping sowing principle here. And God, can I just tell you, I have learned in my 66 years, you cannot outgive God. Whatever you give to Him, He's going to take it and bless it. Can I just tell you, I've told this before, but we got a lot of folks here that probably haven't heard this story. And I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus, okay? But back in 2005, the church I was pastoring at the time was in a building program. And the children, where's Lauren Henderson? Lauren, we had the children down in the nasty, stinking, damp basement of the church. There wasn't even a bathroom down there. Can you imagine? And so I got the bright idea we needed to do one of two things. We either needed to put all the adults down in the basement and let the children have their rooms, or we needed a brand new state-of-the-art children's building. And the church voted to do the second one. Amazing. Amen. And so we started plans to build this state-of-the-art. Gaines remembers. He was just a little bitty thing then, back in 2005. But we started it together. We build a program. And we said everybody needs to, not equal giving, but equal sacrifices. And everybody needed to make a 3-year commitment. And because in 2007, when we began breaking ground and stuff, we wanted to have the vast majority of the money in the bank. Because the lender is the borrower is a slave to that's right. And so as the pastor of the church, y'all may not agree with this, but I think the pastor ought to step out and lead in everything. He's the leader. And if he's not leading, he needs to go do something else. The pastor is the shepherd of the flock. And so at the time, when we're all asking for these Together We Build pledges, I've got two girls in college, okay? I'm in a county seat, a rural county seat, blue-collar town. I'm not making a whole lot of money. And by the way, if you're being called into the ministry for the money, you're going to be sadly mistaken. It wasn't until I got back home to Clarksville that I made any money in the ministry. Bless God, I'm 66, and that's how long it takes. Okay? So, y'all pay me well, and I thank you for that. But I was on my way down to the Lifeway store in Florence, Alabama. And I began to talk to the Lord. Lord, we're getting this Together We Build program. I don't have a whole lot of expendable income. And, you know, we're doing the best we can do. And I can't give monthly. And I can't really give quarterly. What do we need to do? And it was just almost immediately this thought went off in my head. Why don't you give the thing that's nearest and dearest to your heart? I'd never had a brand new vehicle, ever. But when we got out of seminary, we had two 15-year-old vehicles. And back there, the preachers lead the funeral processions. And my first funeral, my 15-year-old Grand Marquis died 3 times as I was leading, going around the square. And so Diana said, go back to Clarksville and get you a vehicle. So I went and bought me I called old Brother Shep, and we wound up getting a brand new Dodge truck. Because at that time, if you got a truck, the used ones were about as expensive as the new ones. Y'all with me? And so it's 2005, this truck's now 5 years old, but man, it was sharp looking, Mike, that thing was burgundy. It was gorgeous. It still shined in the sun. And I said, Lord, I don't want it. This truck is what I love. It's the nearest thing I'll ever have to a son. I mean, it's wonderful. It is awesome. And I just kept struggling with the Lord there, you know. And I finally get home and I tell Diane, I said, honey, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think God wants us to sell this truck and give the money to the Together We Build program. She said, yeah, you're flat crazy. But that's what we did. And I called Brother Shep, and I brought the truck to him up here in Clarksville. And after he ran all the gas out of the truck, he sold it for about $2,000 more than it was worth. And then I got the check, and I took that big, we got several $1,000s for it, and I gave it to the Together We Build program. I say that to brag on God, because you know what happened 6 months later? Diane's sick every morning. She's 45 years old. Her boss, the pharmacist at the pharmacy that she worked at, thought she had an ulcer. And her doctor's thinking, oh my goodness, she's got some kind of, you know, cancer. We were talking about all kinds of things because we thought we were done. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They took x-rays of her. And then finally one day the doctor said, you think you could be pregnant? And she said, no. He said, let's just get an ultrasound and be sure. So we got an ultrasound. I'm at home eating lunch, and she comes in and plops this ultrasound picture down on the table, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that's a cancerous mass, and we're in trouble. And and she said, that's not cancer, that's our baby. And then 2 months later, we found out it was a baby boy. Am I lying, Gaines? This is all true. You know what I have found? And he's been a great blessing to our family. I was 49, Diana was 45. He's 17 years old now. And by the way, he's 17 years younger than my youngest daughter. He's been a great blessing. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive. And then, by the way, let me tell you the end of the story. This lady that lived in Lawrence County next door to Wayne County heard that me and Diana had sold our truck and we were driving one vehicle. We were sharing one vehicle. Hello? Ladies? Yeah. So we're sharing one vehicle and this woman calls me and she says, I want to take you shopping. And I'm thinking, well, I do need some new clothes, you know? And so she and her brother come and pick me up at the church and they take me to Nashville. And we pull up in a car lot. And I'm like, I thought we were going to go to, you know, Men's Warehouse or something, you know. And she said, no, I want you to pick you out a car. She said, I'm going to buy you a car. And you know what? She did. Paid cash for it. She bought me a candy red Honda, Billy. And that thing got y'all 38 miles to the gallon. You know, we're 125, 130 miles from the nearest big hospital in Waynesboro. And so I say all that to say this. The great reason for giving is that the more you give, the more God blesses. That's not prosperity preaching. That's just solid biblical truth. If you're here today, understand this. If you'll sow bountifully, God will bless bountifully. And quit thinking about money. Some of y'all think, well, if I give $1,000 to the church next Sunday, he'll put 10 grand in my bank account. There's greater blessings than money. Amen. Hello? And so that's the great reason. That's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. Because I don't know, I heard the great black preacher say one time, you know what? I got to get rid of what I got so I can get ready for what's on the way. And that is the truth. He had a great sermon that day. I'll never forget it. And so that's the great reason for giving. There's a general rule for giving. Look at verse 8. Excuse me, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. We're to give thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. Now, the beginning point of giving at the church is tithing. Tithing. And by the way, you find that over in Genesis 14:20, the tithe. That's hundreds of years before the commandments. Hundreds of years before the law. And Abraham gives a tithe to this strange character named Melchizedek, who I think was an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus. And then over there in Genesis 28, verse 20, I think it's verse 20, Jacob's been in a wrestling match and he's been going up. Anyways, Jacob commits to tithing his income. And then Moses over there in Leviticus 27 commits, he tells the children of Israel, we need to tithe. And then you get to Malachi chapter 3. I mean, and the scripture says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. How? In tithes and offerings. Tithing is the beginning point. And y'all, here's what this is the one that really tears me all to pieces. Please don't ask me this. It may give me a coronary. Should I tithe off the gross or the net? You know, that attitude's the wrong attitude. You're trying to figure out how little you can give and still get blessed. What if God took the warmth out of the sunshine before he sent it? What if God took the refreshment out of the rain before he sent it? What if he tithed on the net? And by the way, God, the beginning point for stewardship is 10%. You take it off the top and you take it to God's storehouse, which today is the local church, and you're giving it to the Lord through the church. Does that make sense? So give thoughtfully, and an offering is over and above your tithe. I'm doing some good teaching here, y'all. It comes straight from the scriptures. And so give thoughtfully. Don't just give what you gave last year in an offering. Think about it. Pray about it. Give thoughtfully. And then he says, give as each one purposes in his own heart, there in verse 7, and not grudgingly or of necessity. We're to give willingly. You know, grudge givers, well, I got to give. Guilt givers, well, I should give. But grace giver says, man, I get to give. I want to give. There's a condition. Mercy, I better hurry up. There's a condition in the church known, and I don't see it at the department store. I don't see it at the ball games, at Titan Stadium. I don't see it at the clothing shops. I don't see it at the car lots, but I see it in church. And this is really the only place that it happens. You'll get to the offering time, and people, some people, not everybody, but a few people, you can just watch them. Boy, they get nervous. They got a tick going on, you know, and they'll break out in a sweat, and their hands start shaking, and they can't get to their wallet or their purse. You know what I call that condition? Cirrhosis of the giver. And I don't see that anywhere else but in church. We'll go out and spend tons of money else places. Hello? So we're to give willingly. It's a blessing to be able to give. And then we're to give cheerfully. Watch this. Not grudgingly. By the way, grudgingly means out of pain. What a great description. For God loves what kind of giver? You know, one of the happiest times in our service every Sunday morning ought to be when the offering comes around. And some of y'all really enjoy that. And you clap and you smile. And then others of you, God loves a cheerful giver. And can I just say this to you lovingly? If you don't want to give, don't you dare give. Because God's not going to bless it. And if you can't give generously and sacrificially and cheerfully, don't give. By the way, God doesn't need your money, but you need to give. You know, and let me say this. He doesn't care about how much money you make. He could care less about that. By the way, he's the one that gave you everything you got anyways. But he does want to give you his grace and his blessing, and that comes through our giving. So we're to give cheerfully. Did y'all hear the cheer in my heart when I was telling y'all about how we got Isaac? And then there's the glorious result of giving, and I'm about done. Look at verse 13. Now, I can't skip this. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. In other words, if you'll give, the reason God blesses you with more is so that you can give more and help more and be a blessing to more. Are y'all with that? And then verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to us to God. For the administration of this service, he's talking about this love offering, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them. And liberal in that case is a good word. And all men. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Whoo! That's the glorious result of our giving. There's the result of grace. How many of y'all in this room, be honest with me, have been blessed by God far beyond anything you ever thought that you'd be blessed? Look across the room. God blesses people. He loves to bless us. And when we bless him, he double blesses us. Whew. That's the result of grace. And then there's the result of gratitude. He uses the word thanksgiving. We ought to give just because we're grateful. The generosity in my life flows from the gratitude in my life for all that God's done. Y'all with me? I mean, we ought to be so thankful. All the hands that just went up in here. Grateful, thankful. I guess you heard about the family after church sitting around the dinner table. And the dad says, well, you know what, man, that preacher sure stumbled across reading those verses today. He couldn't say anything with a mouthful. It was awful. And then the wife said, yeah, the choir was out of pitch and out of tune, and the music was too loud. And then the daughter said, yeah, you know, the service was way too long. I was looking to get out of there in 45 minutes, and we were there for an hour and 10 minutes. And the little son, the little boy who's sitting there at the dinner table said, oh, I don't know, I thought it was a pretty good show for a dollar. How grateful are you? How grateful are you? I want to tell you that conversation goes in a lot of places after church. I've walked up on it in restaurants and asked for, oh, well, you must be, and get real quiet, you know, when the preacher walks up, and I'll say, well, y'all must have been talking about me. And heads drop. The result of grace, the result of gratitude, and the result of glory. You know what giving does? Sacrificial giving, cheerful giving does? It glorifies God. It glorifies him. The church in Jerusalem got their need met. The church in Corinth helped meet their need. And you know what God did? He blessed both of them. And he got the glory. Where are you? And by the way, I've heard people say this to me. Let me just say this lovingly. Well, preacher, the New Testament doesn't say much about tithing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus just assumed that we would pray, fast, and give. And in Matthew 23, 23, and 24, Jesus just assumes that we're going to tithe. That's an Old Testament principle that's brought forward in the New Testament. You'll never convince me by saying, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, bless God, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. And he did. And so this morning, I want to ask you, does your giving glorify God? Are you bringing your tithes as you ought to? And every now and then where there's an offering, do you give over and above that? You see, I'm like Paul. Man, I want God to bless y'all. I want him to bless you and your family. And you know what I have found? That if I'll just do what God tells me to do, he will bless me. He will. I look pretty dapper this morning. But y'all should have seen me at seminary. We're driving two 15-year-old vehicles. I'm doing good. We're doing good to, you know, pay $600 a month at the Gospel Ghetto and where we lived. It was $600 a month. We're living off $18,000 a year. I mean, it was tough. But I want to tell you, it was such a joy to sit down with my two daughters and write that first check every Friday to the Lord. And they watched that. And then there were some days, if I wrote the tithe, where's the money for the light bill going to come from? And we'd get a check in the mail. We'd give a $100 bill in the mail anonymously. God will bless you if you'll get obedient in this area. You've been given a gentle reminder. And the Word says we ought to have a generous reputation for our giving. There's a great reason for our giving. It's more blessed to give than receive. And there's a general rule. We ought to give thoughtfully and willfully and cheerfully. And the glorious result is that God receives all the glory and you get blessed. Father, thank you for this time with the saints. And Lord, really, you set the example in giving for us by giving us your Son, the indescribable gift. You gave your best to us. And Lord, we need to start giving our best to you. I thank you for the givers in this church. And it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. But I know that I know that I know, in order for us to be the kind of grace givers we need to be, we first of all need to give our lives to Christ Jesus. And we'll never be obedient in this area until we give our all to Jesus, every part of our heart. And so I pray this morning, Lord, if there's one or two or 10 or 20 in here that does not have a relationship with you, that today they would give you their heart and life. That today would begin a new day of salvation. And then for others, Lord, obedience is always the issue. And I believe there are some issues of obedience that need to be taken care of today. And as folks come to pray, there's needs all across this room. And Lord, our giving meets needs all over this city, all over this state, and all over this world every single Sunday. And so help us to sell out to this stewardship called giving, that we might be set free by grace giving. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn, in a song. Let's all stand. The altar's always open here at Second Mile Church. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.